with such a sweet insanity. The more you learn, the less you know. In the heart of every family, there's a love that starts by letting go.
Step by step and day by day. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Coming to you live from the western suburbs where the Hogan family resides in Oak Park, Illinois.
They're in Oak Park, Illinois?
Yeah.
No way.
They're just like me right now, living in the western suburbs. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to very special episode. My name is Slim, and I'm joined here by Todd, as always.
Yeah, well, as always, as often as we can try to get it in. So we haven't done a podcast in a couple years, but we've got some fans who recently come to the show and shown their enthusiasm, and said, hey, when are you coming up with some new stuff? We hope you do something new, Slim. And lo and behold, what happened?
Well, I mean, everything comes back.
Sure.
And we had an episode posted on YouTube, tailor-made for us to do something, but everything comes back. You know, there's a big resurgence in nostalgia, you know, with Fuller House and Wet Hot American Summer, and we're a little bit older, a little bit wiser. I don't know, do you think, well, people can't see us. Do we sound older, you think?
I don't know. We'll have to compare it against the old episodes.
Those people on Wet Hot American Summer definitely look older.
I do appreciate anybody who's listened to this now who's, you know, subscribed to the Twitter or to the iTunes account or an RSS feed or something, and you found the new episode. You're like, surprise, new episode. This is great. So
surprise.
Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. I mean, even in the span of not doing podcasts for a while, we still continue to have a new listener here and there, and we appreciate you listening and staying loyal and asking for us to do another podcast. So we are back for another podcast.
And speaking of speaking of coming back, obviously we're talking about the show Valerie. We did one up before in our podcast about the Hogan family. Same show, different titles. But this is from season 2, episode 14. The episode is entitled Bad Timing, and it stars Jason Bateman, who is currently on the big screen in the movie The Gift, which seems about to be perfect timing that he is in a big thriller out there in the cinemas these days.
And of course, he's known for things like Arrested Development and all sorts of movies. He's a big star. Who's not a big star is his co-star in this episode of Valerie.
Yeah. What is her her acting name?
Her name is Valerie Breeman.
Her name is
not
Valerie.
Not to be confused with Valerie Harper. This was a Valerie Harper vehicle on TV that she was the star of and then ended up getting killed off over the contract disputes. But we're not there yet. Well, this isn't the Hogan family. This is Valerie. And there's a real heart-to-heart, spoiler alert, with Valerie and Jason Bateman's character David later on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously David's going to go through a lot of things in his time in the Hogan family. He's going to have his house is going to burn down. His mom's going to die. But before those things
happen,
nobody
expects a house fire.
Nobody does. Nobody does. And especially, you know, right after your mom dies, it's like kind of a crappy situation to find yourself in. Like,
they
obviously, you're still grieving. But back in season
this
two,
more innocent times in season two.
The worst thing, the worst problem he had was just bad timing. The timing didn't work out for what he needed. But this is actually a very interesting special episode. Talks about something we've never covered before, Slim. And what is that very special theme today?
It is, should teenagers have sexual intercourse?
Yes, this is it's about a young man who's on the cusp of losing his virginity, and also it dealt with a very special theme of contraception, which was not really dealt with in sitcoms or prime time at all. I mean, this is actually we found out that this is the first instance of the word condom being uttered.
Yes,
in prime time, maybe in TV. I don't know, were they saying it on the soap operas?
No one had ever said condom on TV. They couldn't even say it on the news. But it definitely sounds like, and I'd be willing to believe that in 1987, nobody was saying condom on primetime TV. So this is an episode we've known about for a long time and wanted to do a podcast about. And lo and behold, YouTube just dropped it right in our laps.
It's a hot mixtape that has dropped on us out
it's
of
like,
nowhere.
You guys got to come out of retirement because this is finally on the YouTube.
So this is very exciting. So here we are, Bad Timing, season 2 of Valerie is on YouTube. Thank you to our YouTuber, whoever that you are, you fantastic man, and put this out there.
We don't know how long this is going to be on YouTube, but when we post this on Podomatic, we'll be sure to share the link so you too can watch it. We maybe are missing something. It's only 18 minutes, but you kind of get the gist that what's going on in this episode is some family friends of the Hogan family are in town because this girl, Lori, played by Valerie Breeman, is in town for a college interview.
Yes, she's going to be going to So they're going to a big Northwestern football game, Slim. Is she interviewing for college at Northwestern?
I don't know if it's ever really said, but I assume that she's interviewing at Northwestern. It seems like the caliber of a school where you'd have to come in for a big interview.
Yes, and so she's in for just the weekend, and we meet her parents. Do you happen to have their names jotted down over there in your pad?
Well, we talk a lot about Howard, because Howard is a machine. He's a cheapskate, and he loves to eat.
And he was joined by his lovely wife, and of course, Lori was in tow, and we see everybody at the Hogan dinner table, and they've eaten so
not
much
everybody.
Food. Not everybody. Excuse me, yes, who were we missing?
Yeah, one of the Hogan family. So it's three boys that Valerie and Mr. Hogan have, and I believe it was Louis Daniel Ponce, Willie Hogan, who wasn't in the episode, I think, right? And Jeremy Light or Licht as Mark Hogan was, right?
And he's only in the opening scene.
Right. He's
not
in there too much.
This is a Bateman-heavy episode.
Well, I think that I read the topic matter was too heavy to have all those boys around. They might have heard the word condom, like on the set.
Yeah, I mean, this episode, we kind of just skipped over how controversial it was. There was parental warnings before it aired, and it became such a... a flagpole moment for
flagpole, really, Todd, really,
tentpole, excuse me, moment for America in the abstinence versus premarital sex movement became a resource for educators. They actually had this episode that you could watch, you know, when your substitute comes over and she's not feeling like doing a lesson plan. She's like, we're going to watch a video.
You had a substitute for sex ed? It's like, we're going to watch this video. You kids like Valerie, Jason Bateman?
Do you remember 1987? It was a hell of a year. They said condom on TV, and I was number one in Vegas. I don't know.
But it seems so innocent. Like, if you were sitting down to watch this with your mom and dad, like, oh, bad timing. What's this episode about?
Sure. So they had to let you know that it was going to be pretty dicey.
But they are sitting down at the dinner table, and it's a lot of consternation about Howard and how much he is eating. They had a lot of meat for Howard to put away, and he is just going to eat the Hogan family out of house and home. So it's a good thing they're only here for a couple days.
And we learn that it's been 10 years since David and Lori have been kind of getting real close and getting to know each other.
They were childhood friends. They were chums. And Lori, I mean, she's a nice-looking blonde. What do you think about Lori?
I think she's a very 80s lady. I mean, she's
very 80s lady.
She's
yes.
got some blonde hair. It's very feathered, you know. Taking over her mother, I mean, she's got the real outfit going on there with her real buttoned-up little bow number with a cardigan sweater. I'm having a hard time pinning down what time of the year it is. At one point, we know it's college football season, Slim, but we see Jason Bateman wearing numerous sweaters at this dinner table scene. He's got his zhuzhed up sleeves looking real slick with his dad jeans on, and Mr. Hogan's wearing a sweater, and Howard's wearing double layers and choking down some grist and some fat.
Yeah, she'd made a 10-pound roast, and Howard ate about 9 pounds of it, I bet. But it's college football season. I'm thinking it's maybe October. You know, it can be very chilly
in Oak
Chicago.
Park. In Oak Park.
This episode takes place exclusively in Oak Park, although some of the characters will make a trip up to Evanston at some point.
So after dinner, we find ourselves alone with Lori and David. And,
well, you forgot to mention they were going to a party.
Oh, yeah.
They ducked out a dinner early to go to somebody's party.
Yeah. We never really get a chance to see them at the party. It's also so cold that David has to wear a leather jacket on top of his sweater with his, collared shirt underneath. So it's obviously very cold October. They have yet to deal with all the global warming in America these days. But then they come back from the party. We find out a story that Lori dared David to eat a spider once upon a time when they were younger. And he, like Marty McFly, like our podcast likes to reference Back to the Future, does not take he does not like to be called chicken. So he definitely ate that bug. Am I right, Slim?
Yeah, he definitely ate that bug. And now there's a lot of awkward smiling and reminiscing. Apparently, they once shared a kiss.
Their first kiss.
Well, it was at least Lori's. Probably both. Lori's like, you never forget your first. And I don't know. Are you feeling the chemistry here, though?
Between the two of them?
Between Lori and David.
I find it hard to believe that, you know, the road we're going in this episode, that they're going to go have their second kiss and then all of a sudden just be full of emotions and hormones, so much so that they're going to need to bang it out in his hide a bed in the middle of his parents' house.
David is definitely playing horny, and Lori sort of is, but again, one of these characters had a much more prolific career in Hollywood than the other, so...
Oh, you're saying that she's just not very... You know, the actual chemistry between the actors isn't good?
No, she's not drawing me in.
The kissing is does not look like it's ever going to... It's all very, like, closed mouth, very brief. Like, if I kissed a girl like that, I would never be like, the next thing we're going to do is, like, the most intimate thing you can do with a person. She'd let me kiss her on her mouth with my mouth closed for 2 seconds.
So, well, like you said, this episode is a study in extremes. We go from, this awkward kissing to, well, maybe we should have sex. Yeah.
So what's the sleeping situation at the house right now? I see David's not sleeping in a bedroom. He's in his parents' living room on a hide a bed.
Yeah, some people have been displaced. I think that Howard and his wife are up in the den, and it sounds like Mr. and Mrs. Hogan are in their regular bedroom. But Lori is, I mean, she's wearing a bathrobe. Did you travel with a bathrobe, when you're staying at a friend's house?
I don't even currently own a bathrobe, let alone the need to wear one when I'm planning on having sex with somebody, because that's just more clothes to take on or take off, put back on when your parents bust you in there. So,
well,
Lori
was wearing a bathrobe, and that's maybe just part of her sex appeal. Those are part of her moves. So she comes down. He's in the living room, and she just comes down and says, "I want you."
She wants it, and Jason, David, he really wants to get it on as well. But there's one small detail that's holding up this sexual conquest from David Hogan.
I mean, he goes through a litany of reasons. At first, it's just the fact that the parents are nearby. That, I believe, is his first objection. But then there's another really big one.
So let's check in with Lori and David Hogan to find out, will they or won't they have sex tonight? Or, potentially, is there some bad timing?
I'm talking about birth control. Are you on a pill or something?
No, but don't worry. I'm pretty sure it's safe.
Oh, yeah, pretty sure, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Lori, wait a minute.
What?
We can't.
Well, sure we can.
I can't.
Why not? You got a war injury or something?
Listen, Lori, I want to, okay? Boy, do I want to. But, I mean, what if you get pregnant? I mean, we gotta stop.
Okay.
No, don't stop. I mean, if you're pretty sure, maybe we can just... No, we can't. We can't. This must be a lot like hell.
So, Slim, there's your predicament right there. She thinks it's totally safe if they have nothing, no birth control pill, and eventually the big mention of the word condom comes up, which is obviously, like I said, extremely amazing for television in 1987, but...
They both move on from the pregnancy. She seems very unworried about it. And I think he's like, well, she's a woman. So, I mean, if she's not worried about getting pregnant, I guess I won't either. But then it becomes the protection issue.
Yeah, it seems like this is actually an indictment of the sexual education of young people in America at this time. And it were a woman who we learn later on. I mean, spoilers, if you haven't watched the episode, go back and watch it. It's only 18 minutes. But this is not her first go around.
Yeah, and they make it pretty clear that she's a little more experienced.
So you're telling me that she's had sex before, and then her rationale is like, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, she's not on birth control. She seems like she's sexually active, ready to go off to Northwestern. I don't know if that comes up in her college interview. We never find out.
I don't know much about Northwestern girls. I never got to know one personally. But
we're gonna hashtag Northwestern up on this. You can tweet to Northwestern and
find out
if they reply to this,
because they're full of smart people over there. You think if you're on the cusp of going there, you'd know a little bit more about sexual contraceptive methods. But they decide that they're going to wait an entire day to get it on, because he's going to go buy himself some condoms.
Protection.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I really popped that P on protection. But yeah, two horny teenagers can still concoct a plan and have restraint to wait one more day. I mean, they're putting off sex for like 10 hours. Because the other part we forgot to mention is everyone else is going to a Northwestern football
game
tomorrow. And he's like, I don't understand how this is going to work out. And she's like, you'll skip the game. I'll come back early for my interview. We'll have the house to ourselves. A little 3 p.m. during a college football game sex.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. They should watch it on the Big Ten Network so they can make sure they know when the family's coming home.
That would be smart. Too bad the Big Ten Network or even regular cable TV wasn't that much present in the mid-80s, but...
So it's the next day, so it means we're getting pretty close to getting it on, Lori and David. Are we not, Slim?
We're close, but we still got to have a little more banter about this football game with little brother. Again, nobody's asking, wait, didn't you have three kids? Like, I don't even didn't catch an explanation of like, oh, he's away at grandma's house right now. So, yeah, they're just getting ready for this football game, and we've got to at least remind you that there is a B story of a conflict between Mr. Hogan and Howard about him being a cheapskate. It was like, oh, he finally came through. He got us these Northwestern tickets, but they're really far away. Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, such a bummer that Howard eating all the food, buying crappy tickets. What else is he going to do?
It's got to be a little tit for tat, Howard. Come on.
But like I said, it's the next day, which means that David's busy buying condoms. You know what's funny is that like this whole thing of saying condom on TV, I thought they'd say it at least once, more than once, excuse me. They only say it one time, and it's kind of a throwaway from Lori.
Well, it's kind of like the Seinfeld episode where they have the contest. Like, you kind of have to dance around things on basic TV primetime.
Miller Boyette Productions, you know. I hope when they bring back Fuller House, they just say the word condom all dang day.
Big props, too, for Valerie for wearing her purple for this Northwestern game. There's some continuity there. But, yeah, David was nice enough to go out to the supermarket and pick up some groceries because Howard's eating them out of house and home.
Yes, and just like any sitcom, we learned this trope a long time ago doing this podcast. When you go buy groceries, especially for a family of five, you only need to come home with one bag of groceries as long as there's some sort of lettuce, celery, perhaps a carrot top hanging out the top of the bag. That way we know there's groceries in there and there's probably enough to make a salad, maybe. Pour some milk in a glass. I don't know what else.
Now, was Jewel Osco around in the mid-80s where they combined already?
I believe the Jewels were around, sure.
Osco
might have been somewhere else. I don't know what in Oak Park they were doing, if they were going out to the Mariano's, to the Trader Joe's.
I don't think those existed
not
either.
Not in 1987.
But it seems like whatever supermarket he went to did have a drugstore, and he got a couple white bags because apparently... Oh, wait, Valerie has a cough, and he had to get cough drops for her, too.
Yeah, so this ends up to a very comedic exchange where it's like, no, this is mine, these are yours, these are mine.
Another great trope, like when there's two suitcases and they get mixed up.
So it turns out that when he leaves the room, he finds out that he walked out with his mother's cough drops, and mom's got... the condoms.
As much as he tried to not mix up those white bags, mom got the condoms, and now it's time for a chat about the condoms.
This is actually a very adult conversation. This is probably what the I think it was NBC was the broadcaster at this time.
Was on NBC and CBS, but I think this was NBC.
So this is what they really wanted the parents and the kids to kind of get around the TV for. But let's have an adult conversation about condoms, okay? So. Valerie, you know, she's a little uncomfortable. She's speaking very quickly. She's making a lot of, you know, kind of telling her son not to be nervous, or don't be embarrassed, excuse me. And that he's being responsible buying these things. But then she does actually give some really good advice, Slim, about when you decide to do something like this, what you actually are doing.
And she tackles it head on, and there's not a lot of joking around. I bet Valerie Harper was like, this is what's going to win me an Emmy. So let's hear some of this, what I assume was not nominated for an Emmy, but probably should have been work from Valerie Harper.
Thanks. David, there is nothing wrong with the feelings you have. But a sexual relationship is just that, a relationship. There's responsibility attached to the other person and yourself. Please take that seriously.
I will.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay. Listen, I don't even know how much experience you've had so far. Oh, and I'm not asking you to tell me. It's just that, make sure that whatever you do, it's the right time in your life and the right time in your relationship.
Okay. All right. Well, there you have it, Slim.
Okay.
Mom, giving some real, two cents, more like $1.25 worth of advice there.
Do you think he's going to remember that advice when he's on Arrested Development and Horrible Bosses and all his other roles?
I mean, what you're implying is that Mr. Bateman was a bit of a hound, if you would, in Hollywood as a young actor. You think David Hogan and Jason Bateman didn't adhere to Valerie's advice quite the same?
He seems like a pretty straight arrow. I'm just talking about characters he's played. Like, has that been in the back of his mind of, like, Michael Bluth, he's also going to try to make good choices for his relationships.
I mean, maybe. We'll see. But this, in the context of the episode, Slim, seems like it's really kind of maybe given David a little something extra to think about. Because all he was thinking about was, tonight, not going to happen. Don't want to have a baby. Going to buy condoms. Come home. People are going to go to the football game. I'm going to bang it out with the old neighbor lady.
The old neighbor lady. Yep. And it's cold. I mean, it's a cold outside, and they're going to stay warm by having his first sexual experience.
It is very cold. We see everybody piling in for the big game. And before we leave, of course, we have one more reference to Howard and his B plot line, Slim, where lunch is on them. And they said, great, we know a great Italian place. He's like, Italian in college football. Let's just eat some dogs at the game. And I don't know. There's a lot of jokes that
classic
get a lot of...
Classic Northwestern hot dogs.
They get a lot of laughs in this show, but I wouldn't necessarily even call them jokes. Yeah. I would just call them words people laugh at.
A lot of our fans may not know this, but we once tried to do a podcast about Perfect Strangers, and we also tried to do one about Small Wonder once, and they were almost too thin to even talk about for a podcast, and this is bordering on that. That's pretty thin script, but anyway, we digress. So she was off at this college interview, and this was before I think pantsuits were invented.
Sure.
I don't know what Hillary Clinton would have to say about the attire here.
She's rocking a very long Sarah Plain and Tall dress with she's taken after her mother with that like pilgrim little collar that pops over
the
top. Yeah,
the ribbon collar, and there's a lot of buttons, and we get some real physical comedy work here, especially from Jason Bateman here.
Yeah, David's rocking he's wearing what appears to me to be a snowflake sweater in college football time. You know, they stopped playing her right around like Thanksgiving or so I don't know why he's so early to start celebrating, and there's just so much slapsticky stuff going on right here. It seems like they're both kind of distracted by just we got to get it out before mom and dad come home.
Is there some symbolism here that he is wearing a pure white turtleneck and she's wearing a white shirt? Is that a symbolic thing about their purity?
I would say that's just what you wear when you like have when you have your layer game on.
You do darker white.
You do darker colors and then lighter colors underneath.
I'm gonna give the folks who produced Valerie a little more credit here.
But it appears that because of Lori's concerns about a car door slamming and David's concerns about somebody busting in the bedroom while they're about to get it going here. And maybe just, the lingering conversation from his mother about making sure that, this is a sexual relationship. This is something that you want to make sure is the right time for you and your relationship with the person. David kind of tells us how we all should feel in this moment. If you have or haven't already had sex in your life, maybe you should want it to be something special, not violins, but, can we check in with Dave and see how he's feeling right now?
Yeah, Jason
Bateman. He's halfway undressed.
He's going to bring the wisdom in the white turtleneck.
No, Lori, this is not okay. I mean, I can't go through with this.
But what?
Look, I mean, this is just not right. Lori, look, I really like you a lot, but this is very wrong. Everything's wrong. Everything's rushed. I mean, we've got one eye on the clocks. When you're open to hear a car door, you're leaving in a couple hours, and I don't even know when I'm going to see you again. I mean, maybe I'm crazy, but I just want this to be right. And Lori, top it all off, I gotta tell you, I've never really quite done this before.
You're kidding.
Bum, bum, bum. So not only is it not going to be the right time and in the right situation, but Slim, this is actually his first time.
Yeah, and based on her response, it seems pretty clear that it's not her first time. She's more experienced, and she just, earlier in the episode, she said, I just feel really close to you, I just feel a connection to you, and we should just have sex when I get back from a college interview while our parents are at a Northwestern football game. And that's the right time for her.
Sure, but apparently Mr. Hogan over here, Mr. David Hogan, he's going to have to wait.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to wait a whole year if he wants to have sex with this girl, which we don't know. We don't pick up in the next episode or a year from now. I mean, a year from now, his mother's going to be dead and his house is going to be burned down. So he might have a lot more to worry about than getting his first sexual conquest out of the way.
Yeah, this was her only appearance on the show. But in those six seasons, I'm sure the dedicated Hogan family fans were like, whatever happened? Does he still think about Lori? And are they going to get a sixth kiss finally? I don't know. I don't know if she got into Northwestern or not. I think that the Northwestern admission folks might have been like, you know what? She seems like a hussy. We're not going to let her in. She's not Wildcat material.
That's not how the Northwestern administrators talk, I'm pretty sure. They're not very much Simpsons episode characters.
1986? What, do you think they talk like this? Hey, you know, I don't think we're going to let you into Northwestern. You're not Northwestern material. You're fired.
And there is your obligatory impersonation by Mr. Slim. Thank you very much for coming back on the podcast. This is awesome.
We try to stay topical here.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's the end of the episode. They have a nice embrace, and they'll say, "I will bang it out a year from now, or 10 months, or something like that." Is that correct?
Well, they say, "Well, we waited 10 years for our second kiss, so I guess we can wait a little longer for something like this." I don't think they ever say have sex in the episode either.
She did say make love. I made a note about this, which drives me crazy. That's what she was the first one to bring it up. I mean, obviously, when she jumped in the bed with David in the middle of the night in the middle of his parents' living room, he was assuming there was to be more than a closed mouth 2-second kiss that was going to happen in here. But this is what actually, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Why don't they do other stuff?
Yeah, we don't want to get too graphic here on our first podcast.
Why was it all
years.
Or nothing with these two?
That does seem a little strange. There's no conversation about first base, second base, third base. I mean, we get that in Boy Meets World. You know, 10, 15 years later, Boy Meets World can talk about eighth base. But this guy doesn't even know about second base.
Yeah.
It's just first base, home run for him.
Yeah, I mean, especially he's wasting his time. He might as well, if you know, work his way in up to it. If he's burning that whole night, he's not going to be able to do anything. Although we should point out before they after they decide they're not going to have sex, mom shows up anyway, so that could have got real awkward.
Yes, and when they were about to have sex in the living room the other night, Howard showed up because he had to get some more food. He was going to eat a whole like deep dish pizza from Giordano's in the middle of the night.
Howard, the dad.
Yeah, but it's brave for Jason Bateman, you know, doing this. I'm sure that a lot of kids could relate that they were embarrassed, maybe that they were not sexually active and some of their friends were. And Jason Bateman, you know, he says no to the sex and he says, I'm a virgin, you know, so that was a tough role for him.
So this episode, like we said, clocks in at 18 minutes. It might be a little bit short because it looks like it's going at a faster speed. But if you haven't watched it, what do you do? Do you give us a recommendation? Should people actually watch this? Or just if they've already listened to the podcast, I think they've got most of it. I mean, they listen to a 28-minute podcast, but an 18-minute episode.
If you're a fan of very special episodes and you're a fan of cheesy television, then yes, you should definitely watch this episode because it's classic very special episode material in that it would have been a better episode and better dealing with the issue of having sex as a teenager if they were in a real relationship. To me, that's the part that sticks out, that they weren't in a relationship. This all popped up in like a day, like very special episodes tend to do. And only Valerie's like, hey, you're not in a relationship. You saw this girl like 10 years ago.
Do you think mom knew it was Lori? She put it all together pretty quickly.
Well, I don't know. You think it was somebody else? I'm not sure. I'm not that familiar with the show.
No, I agree.
I think Valerie knew. Valerie Harper knew.
She knows now because she watches them from heaven because she's their dead mother.
Valerie Hogan.
Valerie Hogan, excuse me. Valerie Harper, right. I believe, is still alive, even though she's gone with some health concerns. She's still with us. But yeah, I mean, so imagine that mom did see him with it when he finally did lose his V card.
Do you think that was dealt with in like season 6? Like, we rebuilt the house and I finally had sex.
I had sex.
We're going to tie up all these loose ends.
In my burned down house.
So what did you learn from this episode?
Well, I think we all learned a valuable lesson, something that a lot of us can relate to, even though I was a young man, maybe having to concern myself with these type of issues many years later than in the early 2000s. And the same rules apply, Slim. You got to make sure that no matter what you do in life, that you you do it on your terms and you're comfortable and like Valerie said, there's nothing wrong with the feelings you have. Just make sure that, you know, it works for you. So, whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of different attitudes about sex, but I think we can all agree that you should probably do that in the context of an actual relationship, at the very least, not just some girl you saw 10 years
ago. You know, what's funny is that I was reading something even today where it says that the kids today, the young men, they have so many different ways that they can meet women with all of the technology, with your Tinder, with your dating websites, with all of the apps and the things on there, that there's it's almost too much for them because there's so many different ways for them to not be in a relationship and too many ways for them to meet women. So interesting comparison against this. I mean, it seems like David was only going to have sex with Lori because she was the only woman around. He didn't have a Tinder to left swipe or right swipe all over the Northwestern campus,
well,
the Oak Park High School and all that.
OPRF, Oak Park River Forest. I mean, I don't know about your experience with women, but it's not too common for women to be throwing themselves at you in a pink bathrobe in your house.
Was she wearing anything under that bathrobe? A clarity from David?
You know, I don't know if we'll ever know. Maybe that's why she had to wear the bathrobe. But she climbed right into bed with him. And, you know, and that's, you know, kudos to David for being able to resist and say, you know what, I'm going to wait. Whether it was because of Valerie Hogan or why he chose to, you know, he's like, this isn't the right time. Bad timing.
It was definitely not the perfect timing. So, Slim, what did you learn? Did you think that did you learn anything? Obviously, this is a pretty simple lesson that we probably learned when we were younger men. But if someone cool like Jason Bateman doesn't need to have sex to feel
good. I mean, he was probably in, like, Teen Beat at the time, and girls were probably like, yeah, I would like to have sex with Jason Bateman, but wait a minute. He doesn't even want to because it's not a real relationship. But, I mean, there's obviously a lot of discussion about, you know, abstinence completely versus safe sex. And, you know, there's lots of different angles, like I was saying. But this sort of takes a different tone where it's not about abstinence or safe sex. It's just, like, bad timing. So they try not to take a stance on this one.
What do you think of this episode as a educational tool, which was apparently used for some sort of period of time?
You know, if kids were really into Valerie's family, Northwestern football, the Hogan family, it is an opportunity to create a dialogue. Maybe it's better than nothing. I mean, your parents should talk to you about sex at some point in your life. And if this is the way that it broaches the subject, you know, more power to them. Of like, hey, you know, you like Northwestern, Jimmy? Let's watch this episode of a TV show. It's about football. We'll watch it. It'll be fun.
Gotta love it. It's just interesting to see. You know, I was watching something that was kind of viral this week about the John Oliver was talking about the sexual education in America and how it's uneven all throughout the states. In some places it's mandated, in some places that it's you know, not necessarily needs to be done. So people are coming from different school to school. What do you call it when you are in a school district? That's what they call those. They come in from different school districts, different educations about sex. And it's just nice to see something from 28 years ago that everyone had access to, this type of education. You know, it's not saying sex. I feel like there must have been parents that disagree with the message that's saying, A, there's nothing wrong with sex. There's nothing wrong with the way you feel. You can do it whenever you want. Just be responsible and make sure you feel all okay about it. It seems like this is a very, like, liberating sexual idea for this television show.
Yeah, it doesn't come down on a hard line about anything, you know? And I'm not surprised that they had it in schools. I would be excited if my substitute teacher popped this in and said, we're going to watch this.
Today we're watching a Valerie. Why does she sound like that? Everybody sounds like this in my voice.
All of your impressions are of smokers, I think. I mean, my brother was in high school when this episode aired. I'm going to have to ask him, like, did you guys ever watch this episode of Valerie in high school?
And your brother's going to be like, bad timing. Best timing, episode obviously.
My brother does not have a Twitter, so he won't tweet to us about
it. You mean Valerie Bernstein? Is that her name?
Bernstein?
What's her last name?
Hogan. No, Valerie Hogan.
No, Valerie.
Oh, Valerie actress. Bremen.
You mean Valerie Bremen in her big Valerie episode? Of course. It's the best Valerie episode.
But yeah, I know a lot of you were wondering. Obviously, you were wondering if they were going to have sex, and they didn't. You were wondering if he was going to buy condoms, and he did.
What had happened to those condoms? We never found out.
Well,
does he still have them? Does he use them? Are they like sentimental condoms? He just keeps them and he uses them to eventually, or does he make sure he keeps that expiration date on his calendars? Gotta use them by this.
They were switched out with the cough drops all along. Like, Valerie's like, I hope this speech worked, but I'm gonna switch him out, do a little sleight of hand all along.
That's in the Hogan Family spinoff where he
it's in the deleted scenes.
He like goes into his night, his bedside drawer. Reaches in for a condom, pulls out a handful of cold pills, and he's like, forget it. We're going to have a baby now, baby.
Mom, there were halls here all along. Yeah, but Valerie Bremen, she went on to be the writer and director of Going Overboard, which was Adam Sandler's first film. So basically, I'm just going to assume that Valerie Bremen discovered
had sex with Adam Sandler. With a condom.
Okay, let's go with that. I was going to say discovered. I mean, discovered in more than one sense the word, Adam Sandler. She hasn't done a whole lot yet.
We thank her for that. The film Overboard, starring Adam Sandler. If you hate Adam Sandler films, this has got to be probably one of the worst ones. This is his first one. So you have not seen it. You can't really.
I have not seen it, but I think that if I did see it, I would be like, Valerie Bremen. You're fired.
You can't direct and write a movie about a man on a boat.
Well, it's good to be back. Yeah. If you'd like us to do some more podcasts, we can't promise we'll do this with any regularity, but maybe we'll drop one here and there. And so you should tweet to us. If there's an episode that you're like, I wish in those 53, 54 episodes they would have done this, tweet to us. That's at Very Special Ep. That's Very Special EP. Tweet to us at Very Special Ep.
And you can find us on Facebook at Very Special Episode, facebook.com/Very Special Episode. And, subscribe on iTunes, you keep that in your phone. And then eventually, like, when you saw this one, you're like, holy cow, there's a new episode. And that'll happen occasionally. And there's a lot of reboots of, like, some of our favorite shows. Obviously, we'll have to get down on a really good Fuller House episode when that comes next year. And maybe we'll
go back and see what was, like, the grittiest episode of Girl Meets World and do a podcast about that.
We'll do that, too. So, thanks a lot, guys. And Slim,
have a very special week.
For some reason, women feel safe around you. Maybe because you've only had sex four times.
No, four women, not four times, and they talk to me because I talk to them.